deceptions everywhere. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11, false apostles. Verse 13, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You should have these verses memorized by now. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Last week we were talking about the poison that serpents can give. We're learning about Satan. We're learning his ways, his tactics. And so we learned a little bit last week about the poison of serpents and what it does. Deuteronomy 32:32, their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. And one of the things that we looked at, one of the things we looked at last week was the effect that serpent venom has on the human body. And the thing that I'm going to bring out today is what it causes, what the venom does. Symptoms of a snake bite. The venom may cause bleeding, kidney failure, severe allergic reaction, or tissue death around the bite, or breathing problems. So one of the things that we know about Satan, if we go back to Genesis 3, turn to Genesis 3, we know that he is the Lord of corruption, the master of corruption, the source of corruption, as it were. God gave his commandment to Adam in Genesis 2 concerning the tree that was in the midst of the garden. He gave him a blessing because he told Adam he could have access to all the trees and all the fruit that was in the midst of the garden. But he said, the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it, lest ye die. So the serpent comes along. Adam, knowing God's commandment, the serpent's job is to corrupt what God said. So we see in Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. The first point is questioning God's Word. Questioning the authority of God's Word and the authenticity of God's Word. The key word in those two words there is author. Authority and author. God wrote and gave the commandment. That commandment has the force of law. It has authority over us. Some people like to live their life like nobody's in charge of them. Nobody tells them what to do. But it's not true. Everybody is under authority of some kind. Whether it's at your work or at your home or at school or even in a church or whatever. But we are under God's authority. And if God says don't do this and we do this, then it has the force of law. God enforces the laws that he gives to man. He doesn't just give the law and say, well, there's no penalty for it. Just don't do it. That's not going to stop anybody. So it has the force of being enforced. And so the devil questions the authority of God's Word, the authenticity of God's Word. Did God really say these words? Did these really come out of the mouth of God? I've told this many times before, but God challenged me one day. I was looking at Exodus 20, which is where the Ten Commandments are. And verse 1 of Exodus 20 says, and God spake all these words, saying. And the Holy Ghost challenged my heart one day. Said, Mike, do you believe that? And I understood what I was getting from God was what I was reading in my Bible, in English. Do I believe that God speaks English? Absolutely. I know He understands it because He's heard me pray it enough. So I pray to God in English. God understands me in English. God speaks my language. And I believe that as I'm reading these, God said every one of these words. So if God said them, then they are authentic. They are authentically God. and they have the authority of God. An illustration would be if you were taking a trip to Mexico and you went into a Mexican gift shop and you're going to buy authentic Mexican gifts to take back to your family. And when you get them back, they say, made in China. They're not authentic. They weren't really made in Mexico. Why would they have to be made in China? I don't get it. But that would be the illustration here. Did God say these words? And of course we know that He did, but now Eve is thinking that maybe He didn't. Because she didn't actually hear it. She heard it from her husband. And so then the serpent says, verse 4, Genesis 3, ye shall not surely die. That is a direct contradiction to what God said. Ye shall not surely die. So he has now contradicted God's word. And so now Eve has a choice. Do I believe what I was told God said through my husband? Do I believe this serpent here, that I shall not surely die? What is it that's making the decision for her? Her lust of the flesh, her lust of the eyes, her pride of life, that's what's making her decision. So then the serpent says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now God never said that. So we have the questioning of the authenticity of God's word, we have the contradiction of God's word, and then we have the replacement of God's word. You are going to live under someone's authority. Whether you serve God or not, if you do not serve God, then there is another spirit that works in you that you serve. The spirit that is in the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The prince of the power of the air. So you're under someone's dictatorial rules. Whether you think that you're free for it, that's what a lot of atheists now are just really boasting about, how they're free from the virus of religion. There's a lot of YouTube videos on that, where these atheists have come out and say that religion is the bane of mankind. If we could get rid of religion, well, there's no end to how far we could advance ourselves. The humanists especially are they're violently about this, wanting to rid society of all faith and all religion, because that's the sickness of humanity, they say. But the truth of it is, they feel like they're free from being ruled over by a fake deity, but the truth of it is, they're ruled over by a spirit, and they don't recognize it. But it's the spirit of the children of disobedience. So, turn to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Here we have a description of Satan as he is in the presence of God before his initial sin. We know by way of Ezekiel 28 that Satan committed a transgression. There was iniquity found in him, the Bible says. And we're going to find out what that is. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. The Bible says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That leads us to believe that it's speaking of Satan, the serpent, who was in the garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper and the sapphire and the emerald and the carbuncle and gold. Ladies, how would you like to be adorned with that stuff? Who likes diamonds and gold and emeralds? Go ahead. It's your vanity. Go ahead. Okay? I mean, you like them. I get it. All right? That's how Satan is adorned. That's how he was made. This was his covering, were these precious stones. Hence the name Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer. What do diamonds and emeralds and carbuncles and gold, what do? They reflect light. They shine light. Okay? So that was his adornment. And he was very, very beautiful. So, verse 14. Oh, I missed this part. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So not only is he covered with these precious stones, he is literally in his body. God built instruments of music into his body. Now, if this sounds weird to you, think of the animal kingdom. Crickets have musical instruments built into their bodies, their wings. Birds have musical instruments built into the body. We love to listen to bird song. They sing. They play their whatever God gave them to do. So it's to me, it's not unusual that God has built into the very body of Lucifer these musical instruments. I saw something the other day. It just floored me. This is how God creates things. There's a species of wasps called warrior wasps. And here's why they're called this. When they're in their hive and they sense that a threat is coming, like a predator that's going to eat them or something like that, or even humans, they will start beating their wings against their body. All of them in unison. And what it does, it sounds like an army marching down the road. You look this up. Warrior wasps. They sound like an army advancing down the road because all of them are beating their wings on their chest, all in perfect sync. And I'm just going, and immediately I thought of Revelation 9, because the locusts that come up out of the pit in Revelation 9, the sound of their wings beating together sounds like chariots coming, like an army of chariots coming down the road. And I'm going, God made that here to illustrate those devils coming. That was freaky. Okay? So look up, don't do it now during Sunday school. Warrior wasps. Okay? And then compare that with Revelation 9. Anyway, so he has these instruments built into his body. So the devil knows music. He knows music. Does the devil, well, let's say it like this. Does God use music for his honor, for his glory, for his worship, for his praise? Absolutely. Does the devil also use music? Absolutely. Jerry Lee Lewis grew up with his first cousin, Jimmy Swaggart, and his other first cousin, Mickey Gilley. Jerry Lee and Mickey and Jimmy Swaggart, all first cousins. They all grew up in the same area. They all grew up in a very religious, church-oriented background. Jerry Lee Lewis grew up Pentecostal. And Jerry Lee, for years, has known that he's been serving the devil all these years. He knows it. And he said in an interview one time, he said, of course I'm playing the devil's music. But he said, I hear stuff coming out of churches now that I know is the devil's music. At least I'm honest about it. I'm going, not bad. So he knows that the stylings of music, the lyrics of his music, he knows who he's worshiping with it. He's honest about it. Okay? I don't think that gets him any great points with anybody. But he's honest about it. Music has a way to reach into our soul. And music has color to it. One of the aspects of music is called tone color. Music can be bright and uplifting. Music can be very dark and depressing. And everybody knows that. Okay? So I'm one of these that some people say, well, it doesn't matter what kind of music you use. I disagree. I really disagree with that. Using dark, very depressing, heavy, tonal beats and rhythms and drones, I don't think that's... Yes, sir? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Follow me, John. Follow me. Over here. Huh? Let me give you an example here. That's all harmony. Melody and harmony. Okay? Yeah. That's dissonance. The notes that are played, they clash with each other. They clash rhythmically. The waves clash, and our brains don't like it. Okay? And it builds something. It's like children screaming in the background. You can only take 3.8 seconds of it. The older I get, it's down to 3.5 now. Okay? The older I get, I cannot handle that. Okay? In the morning, the kids are all pawpaw candy, pawpaw candy. And then the screaming starts. And that's when I shove them all out and shut my door. I've had enough of that. But it's like that. Music can be used to get you to fight, to get you violent. Music can be used to bring you... Music, the word muse, means to think. And music has an effect on our thoughts. And if you don't agree with that, I'm telling you, when you were lost, you had your favorite going home music. You had your favorite, I just had a fight with my wife music. You had that stuff building you or moving your emotions. Film producers know this. Film producers don't make a movie without a track, soundtrack of some kind. The music makes the movie. And everybody knows this. So Satan, you know, I like different kinds of music. I get that. But some of it just isn't right for worship. Amen? Especially when Jesus said, when he's talking about do not use vain repetitions because they think that God can be heard with their much speaking. He said, don't do what the heathen are doing. The heathen are doing vain repetitions. Vain repetitions bring about certain states of mind that God says, don't do it. Anyway, let me move on. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways. At one point, Lucifer, the serpent, was perfect. He was without transgression and without spot. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Let me go back to something. Who knows anything about diamonds? Just even a minimal knowledge about diamonds. When they do their rating of a diamond, they're looking in that diamond for how it shines and sparkles and sends out light. Isn't there something in a diamond that's like a blemish inside there to where it doesn't produce as clarity? Okay, so the clarity of a diamond has a lot to do with how much it reflects or sends out the light or whatever. And if there's some little flaw in that diamond, it won't send out as much light. Am I right on that? Okay? Because the whole idea about this is spots of corruption. Okay? When we're washed in the blood of Christ, we are made without spot and without a blemish. So we shine as lights in the world. Lucifer was that way initially, hence the name Lucifer, light bearer. But at some point, iniquity was found in him and a flaw, a spot, blemish. He's not the bright and shining one any longer. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Now, I'm not 100% sure on this, but one of the things I'm seeing in the Bible about Satan is that he likes things, merchandise. He likes having things. Crows. What do crows do? If they find something shiny laying around, they take it, put it in their nest. God's put it in their being to like certain things, certain shiny things, a watch or something like that. Satan loves the possession of things. Merchandise. That's what that says. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. His lust and his desire for having things is what corrupted him. How reasonable is that to think that's how it happens with humans? Their lust for things fills them with corruption, fills them with violence. They will do anything to get certain things. Businessmen, multimillionaires, multibillionaires. They don't necessarily believe that following the rules to make money is the best way to go. So if they can cheat the rules, get away with it, to get more money, to get more things, that is precisely what they will do. But they love to own things, merchandise. Therefore, God said, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. See, there's pride here. Heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Now, to give you background on that, you're in Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 2 of Ezekiel 28. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Verse 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. So God built into Lucifer a wisdom and a knowledge and understanding. But because of his pride and because of his sin, his lust, it corrupted his wisdom by reason of his brightness. So now there are things that he thinks he knows, but he doesn't know. His wisdom is corrupted. Had Satan known that in crucifying Jesus, that would have meant his destruction, he would have never had Jesus crucified. The Bible is very clear on that. That there was a secret and a mystery that God was withholding from his creation. His angels never figured it out. Even the evil angels, they think that if they can have Jesus killed, then they can have his seat, his kingdom, his authority. There's even a parable where Jesus told that very story. Let's kill the king's son so we can have the inheritance. So Satan himself became the master of this plan. Satan himself entering into Judas Iscariot to get Judas to do this one thing, and that is betray Jesus. So Jesus is turned over so he can be killed. And the devil's going, we got him. We got him. He's dead. Okay? And then, 3 days later. He's conquered death. Okay? That didn't work out so well. But God withheld that from Lucifer. That was something he didn't know. And he couldn't understand it. He couldn't see it. He still thinks that he can beat God. He still thinks that because that's what he's trying to do right now. And he's trying to gain custody of this world. Remember, he loves merchandise. He loves his brightness. He loves, I would say, I'm not sure how to say it other than this, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I would say that there's something about Satan's nature that desires money and things that go with it. Because that's what he inspires people to do. Rock stars who say that they sold their soul to the devil What was it that they wanted out of that? They wanted the playing ability and the money and the things that went with it. The fame and the fortune and the women and everything else. And they got it. They got all of it. By the way, some of these very rock stars admit that when they go out on the stage, something takes over. Okay? There's an interview with one of the singers of the band The Who. He said, when I get out on that stage, he said, something takes over me in my playing and in my whole attitude. And he said, if you mess with me, he said, I would probably come close to killing you while I'm on stage. That's a devil entering into him. Okay? Why is my battery low already? Yeah, she has a devil named Sasha Fierce that comes over her. They said, you can see it. Boom. Her whole visage changes. All right? So anyway, let's keep... His wisdom is corrupted by reason of thy brightness. Now I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. When he said he cast him to the ground, that's Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Boy, learning this stuff, it makes you aware of the world around you and what really goes on. Record companies, media producers, they are working for our enemy. Can we not now in 2018 look back to the 1950s and the 1960s and say that the music industry single-handedly created the corruption that is in America right now? Very easy. Preachers back then were preaching against rock music. And they were saying, it's going to kill our country. And they were not wrong. They were not wrong. So, Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? That's what he's saying here in Ezekiel 28, verse 17. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. So, let's look at Deuteronomy 31 and Deuteronomy 32. This is the devil being the lord of corruption. Everything he touches, he corrupts. The Bible says that Satan has the power of death. Do we believe that? Absolutely, I believe that. The devil could have killed Job had God allowed it, but God did not allow him to. He withheld him from it. But as far as death is concerned, he has the power of death. Deuteronomy 31, verse 29, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves. This is Moses talking. He knows that once he dies, now that they don't have the authority of Moses over them, right away they're going to begin to corrupt themselves. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai the first time, he was gone from their presence for 40 days. And in 40 days' time, they turned from the people of God right over to the people of Satan. They're down there. They had made a calf. They were down there naked, playing this music, having this riotous party, dancing and committing adultery. They were doing everything that God told them not to do in the commandments. Moses had only been gone 40 days, and they immediately corrupted themselves. So let me run this by you. How long would it take for you if you decided you were going to quit reading your Bible, quit praying, quit coming to church, quit listening to sermons on the internet, you were just going to walk away? How long do you think it would take for corruption to set in to your mind and to your heart? How long, when a person's heart stops beating, how long does it take before they start corrupting? It is almost immediate. We're fighting it off. The processes of our body are fighting off the corruption right now. Once my life processes stop, the corruption immediately begins to take... There's bacteria in my body that's just ready to go to work as soon as I stop fighting it. That's how soon it sets in. And that's what he's saying here. I know that after my death, you're going to corrupt yourselves. And it won't take long either. It never does take long. And turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. See what they're corrupting? They're corrupting God's commandments, God's Word. They corrupt it. I mean, look at what we did in 1963. The Supreme Court said, we cannot pray in school, we cannot teach the Bible in school. What happened? 63, the Beatles come over, Rolling Stones come over. I mean, we literally just corrupt. What happened? In 6 years' time, Woodstock. Woodstock would have never happened in 1959. Would have been shut down by the police. Communities would have been outraged at this. But from 1963 to 1969, you have this massive corruption of our youth in this country. It exploded. Literally exploded. Didn't take long either. And he said, evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger through the work of your hands. What do you think is going on right now with the scientists wanting to create a new human being? The work of man's hands. The scientists who want to create and build an electronic God. A God that will monitor everything about us. Your cell phones right now are 4G. Meaning that's the type of radio signals that they operate on, and it allows a certain speed, internet speed, data speed, to go to and from your phone. The next phase is 5G, and I did a little bit of reading on it, and they said it literally is going to revolutionize the entire world because the speeds are going to be almost instantaneous. You know, like on a cell phone now, if you have a conversation, sometimes there's a lag, and you both start talking at the same time, then you both stop at the same time. Then you both start talking again at the same time. That's called latency. But in the 5G era, there will be almost zero latency, and you can literally receive data as it's happening anywhere in the world. And they said the Internet of Things is literally going to take over, and all of this is going to be connected to an artificial intelligence system. And you were worried about somebody at Google knowing, reading your emails. I'm not worried about a guy at Google reading my emails. I'm worried about the artificial intelligence that doesn't just read my emails, it reads everybody's emails all at once. We're building a God. We're corrupting ourselves with the work of our own hands. And the day is coming. Deuteronomy 32:5. They have corrupted themselves. Here it is, right here. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Think of a serpent. Serpents never make a straight line. Okay? Neither does a drunkard. They're both the same way. When a person is crooked and perverse in their ways, their way is never straight. Their way is never right. It's never true. It's never dead on. They've corrupted themselves. Now there's a spot. And all of the radiant jewelry that Lucifer had built into his body was his covering. Now there are blemishes in that covering that he had. Now he's not as luminous and bright as he used to be. He has corrupted himself. And he is the corrupter of mankind. In the absence of God, the presence of corruption is nearly immediate. Keep that in mind the next time you decide that, well, I think I'll sit out of church for a while, or I'm not going to read my Bible today, or I'm not going to pray. Any of those things that we would call Christian conduct, you decided you're not going to do them for a while. Just remember the corruption sets in very quickly. Back years ago, we had ice storms, so we missed one Sunday at church, and that was the hardest Sunday, because I feel like I should be in church. I need to be in church. The next weekend, another ice storm raged through. Had to cancel church again. That Sunday was a lot easier to sit at home. watch movies, piddle around. It's a lot easier the second Sunday. Third Sunday came around and they're saying more ice storms, and I said, I'm going to church. We had church. We had about 15 there down in Richwoods. We had 15 there, but we had church. Because I said, I don't want this. I don't like me not being in God's house on a regular basis. It's not good for you. Because the corruption moves in very quickly. Daniel chapter 2, turn there. Boy, we're learning some stuff, ain't we? The Bible's good. While I'm thinking about it, can I give you all a homework assignment? You can write it down? I really want you to do this. Okay? Up on the screen, I have 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and look up lyrics to songs that you used to like or maybe still kind of like, but you don't want everybody to know you really like it. Okay? Lyrics to songs that you think corrupted our nation. Okay? Now be careful, because I'm not going to read something that's filthy. So don't look up any current rap song. Okay? Because they are filthy. Filthy, nasty. Okay? But songs that, in your opinion, you really believe, now that you look back at it, you can, and they could be even country music. You start thinking about some of the stuff Conway Twitty sang about. That man's nasty. So look at the lyrics that you think aided in the corruption of American society. Okay? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Daniel 2:9, but if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. You have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. We'll talk about that next Sunday at what the sorcerers and magicians and Chaldeans and astrologers of Nebuchadnezzar were trying to do. They had deceived this man all his life, and he was just now figuring it out. See, if you don't tell me what I dreamed, then I'm going to know that all this time you've been lying through your teeth to me. And he's going to have their heads cut off. But just keep this in mind, people. We put things in the refrigerator. Why? Keep them going. Okay? We want to keep things fresh. Because we know that things left out, corruption sets in immediately. Keep that in mind in your life. Keep yourself cleansed and purified and washed out with the antiseptic of the Word of God. Amen? Keep yourself close to your Bible so the corruption doesn't set in. Heavenly Father, teach us some good things today, things that will help us. Things that will prepare us for days to come. The corruption, Lord, is everywhere in this nation. And God, help us, dear God, to be incorrupt and undefiled and unspotted from this world. Father, just help us, Lord. Help us stay close to You. Keep that corruption away from us. Father, bless Your Word today. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen.